602.
So where are we on the swine flu, or as it's now called officially, the H1N1 flu? How many cases? The U.S. has more than 2,500. Have we forgotten about the swine flu? What happened to that pandemic? Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Hope you enjoyed your weekend, got a chance to spend it with your mother, your family, whatever, got a chance to hang and chill. That's what's fun, I think, about holidays that sometimes seem like they're forced. But Mother's Day, you got to recognize the mother. You got to recognize the father, certainly. And Father's Day is coming up, too, obviously, in June. So as we head into a new week, what's going on in the Beltway? Well, we're just a couple of weeks away from fresh new photos being released of Iraq and Afghanistan. Some of those interrogation type photos, shocking what happened to detainees, so much so that the Defense Department didn't really want to release very many of them. And now the floodgates have opened. Where are we as far as the torture slash enhanced interrogation techniques? Where are we as far as other memos to follow? Well, it looks like we have a couple weeks left in May, and that's all supposed to come out in the next couple of weeks. We ended last week talking about Nancy Pelosi having been one of the people that was briefed about the enhanced techniques being used. And, of course, Pelosi's office saying she knew nothing about the waterboarding thing, and the memo saying the opposite of that. I think there's going to be more fallout on the Hill over Pelosi and others being informed, and what did they know or what didn't they know. Huge story heading into the weekend, an operator on a trolley line in Boston, it's actually kind of like a subway, was texting his girlfriend, supposedly, when he slammed into a stopped car, 40-plus people injured, hauled off and with different scrapes and knee problems and neck problems and that sort of stuff. Ultimately, they weren't allowed to text. That was against the rules. So you think at the very least he gets fired from his job, but probably could face some criminal charges as well. Because of that, they're talking about a complete cell phone ban. If we continue down this path, for people who are doing the train thing, doing the subway thing, doing the bus thing, they might just have to almost wand the operators. Wouldn't that be insulting? Just like they have to be patted down as though they're going through the airport screening process. I mean, seriously. Because now we've had more crashes, more problems, all that other sort of stuff. But yet, motorists, that's right, the people who jump in cars are on the cell phones and are texting and doing the very same thing. Even though many states have cell phone bans or hands-free, that kind of stuff. And boy, that's got to be scary for those people that were in that train. Certainly not expecting to smash into another train and end up jostled on the floor in a heap or whatever. They're just lucky nobody was killed this time around. Awful, awful thing there. Just makes you think of what happened in Los Angeles and the operator himself being killed, and, of course, too many people, dozens and dozens of people on that train being killed as well, all because he was texting someone. And what could these texts possibly say that are so important that they have to get to the texting right away? I just don't get it. And, you know, someone explain it to me, please. The latest from Afghanistan and Pakistan, we have that coming up. And, of course, what happened over the weekend at the box office? Big weekend for Star Trek. I don't think that would have surprised anyone. Blew away everybody else that had an opening weekend. It'll be a question of Wolverine versus Star Trek versus some of the other big movies that are coming out. Ultimately, who ends up with the biggest box office bang, let's say, of the whole season, the whole year, if we took everything from the whole year. Star Trek's going to be in the money for sure. Big special effects, unknown folks in the movie for the most part, despite some cameos, but a pretty decent script from what I hear. I can't say that I saw it. I wish I had. I will see it on the big screen, though. I won't wait for this to come out. I know I've said this before, but I ultimately always feel like I have to throw out this disclaimer. I am not a Trekkie, but I do enjoy the Star Trek movies. And this one has to be seen, I believe, on the big screen. There's just some flicks that aren't as good when you see them on a plasma TV, a small box of, you know, whatever. It was a big weekend in Washington because a lot of the hot air wasn't just hot air coming from your favorite politicians. Some of it was coming from celebrities. The White House Correspondents' Dinner is always a big deal. And the money, they charge like $200 a head, and the money goes to a charity of the choice of the journalist, basically. So it'll go for some journalism scholarships and to feed the hungry as well. And everybody's there, the president and some of the president's men and celebrity-type people are there as well. Wanda Sykes did the emceeing for the night and pulled the way through it, and she was pretty good, I'd have to say, from the little clips I saw. But the president actually made some pretty decent jokes. I was wondering who wrote this stuff for him, but I'm going to let you listen to a little bit of it.
No matter which party you belong to, we can all agree that Michelle has the right to bear arms. Now, Sasha and Malia aren't here tonight because they're grounded. You can't just take Air Force One on a joyride to Manhattan. I don't care whose kids you are. During the second 100 days, we will design, build, and open a library dedicated to my first 100 days. In the next 100 days, I will learn to go off the prompter, and Joe Biden will learn to stay on the prompter. Dick Cheney was supposed to be here, but he is very busy working on his memoirs, tentatively titled How to Shoot Friends and Interrogate People. You know, it's been a whirlwind of activity these first 100 days. We've enacted a major economic recovery package. We passed a budget. We forged a new path in Iraq. And no president in history has ever named three commerce secretaries this quickly. Which reminds me, if Judd Gregg is here, your business cards are ready now.
All right, so that was a little bit of the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Coming up, we're going to let you hear what Wanda Sykes had to say. She was, I think, did a great job from, again, I only saw the clips. I wasn't there, but saw the clips. It looked like she was pretty funny as well. See, here's the deal. You got to be able to mock yourself, and it sounds like they were able to mock themselves. And it was the same thing through the last administration, the administration before that, because, frankly, there's a lot of good material there, right? And whoever wrote it actually had some good zingers, I have to say. Hey, speaking of Barack Obama, this story came out from Reuters over the weekend, and the president's popularity in leading Arab countries so far, right now they're saying, actually outstrips that of the U.S. So Obama, no, this isn't a surprise, off the heels of the trip he had, a month ago, is going to give a major speech to the Muslim world in Egypt next month. And in the Middle East, he is thought of with goodwill. So does this help in the case of what's going on in Afghanistan, Iraq, or even Pakistan? I'll give you some more skinny on those numbers. Also going to let you hear what Wanda Sykes had to say at the White House Correspondents' Dinner as well. Hang with us. Kate hanging out with you here on ATN.
Want to stop smoking? Well, here's what I want you to do. Go to a drugstore and take a stop smoking product off the shelf. Go to the cashier, tell them you don't want to pay for the product, you just want to take it home and try it. And if, and only if, you stop smoking, will you then come back and pay for it? Most likely, if you tried this, you'd be arrested. But as silly as this sounds, this is exactly what the Smoke-Free free trial offer is. Smoke-Free is a complete all-natural stop smoking system, and when you call today, they'll send you a 30-day supply of the program absolutely free. This program eliminates withdrawals and cravings and includes a 30-day 30-day supply of the smoke-free capsules, a guide to living smoke-free book, an audio support program, capsule holder, and a bottle of weight loss capsules just in case you're worried about gaining weight while you're trying to quit. To find out if you qualify for this free trial offer, join the tens of thousands who have quit for life with smoke-free. Call 1-800-426-6186 today. That's 1-800-426-6186. This is a limited-time offer, so call 1-800-426-6186 now.
Good day. Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. May 8, 2009. Gold opened this morning at $9.1840. A one-ounce gold coin can be purchased for $9.4493 or $72.46 for a half-ounce and $236.23 for the quarter-ounce. That's $9.4493, $472.46, and $236.23.
Bailout equals market distortions increase money supply while productivity is going down. Wall Street is receiving injections of liquidity while smaller companies are forced to concede. Companies too big to fail are now using the tax dollars to increase market share, paying fat dividends. Are you wondering why supplies of gold and silver coins are decreasing rapidly, leaving the public scrambling to accumulate what's left? Fiat currency's value is based on trust, fiscal responsibility. Is Congress and the White House acting responsibly, earning your trust and confidence, or is it time to ensure your hard-earned wealth? Midas Resources offers economic insurance, gold and silver coins, 800-686-2237. Do you believe that more bailout will solve our economic problems, or would you like to call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237? That's Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 989-637-4179. That's 989-637-4179. Be a part of the revolution today.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in the boat? My head keeps spinning.
Yeah, so ain't that a kick in the head? The Middle East loves Barack Obama. Hey, everybody, America Tonight. You know the show. We zig and zag all over the place. If you have ADD, you love this show, right? What a cooler buzz. So talking about this Reuters poll, some specifics about it. They did this poll back in March, and they found that they actually surveyed about 7,000 people. Now, the people who weren't as high on Obama, the lowest of the six countries that were surveyed, were actually the Egyptians. Only 22% had a favorable view of the United States, and Obama, it was okay too, but still the lowest. 58% in Jordan, yeah, to the 35% the Egyptians gave him, but mostly he was averaging about 48% as a whole. You know, you could break it down to the United Arab Emirates, Kuwait, Lebanon, etc. And, of course, so now there's a big speech in hand on June 4th that's going to happen in Egypt, and it's, you know, all about the Muslim world in that country, etc. As in any poll, I always like to say this, you can manipulate the figures however you want to, and usually there's a couple of percentage points that could go either way, but hey, there's no question it's favorable, the worst being Egypt, and of course that's where he's doing the speech. Speaking of speech making, it wasn't really about a speech, it was more about doing the roast. It's kind of like roasting when you MC one of those sort of events. And Wanda Sykes is pretty quick on her feet. Here's Wanda Sykes at the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Rush Limbaugh, one of your big, big critics. Boy, Rush Limbaugh said he hopes this administration fails. You know, so you're saying, I hope America fails. He's like, I don't care about people losing their homes or jobs or our soldiers in Iraq. He just wants the country to fail. To me, that's treason. He's not saying anything different than what Osama bin Laden is saying. You know, you might want to look into this, sir, because I think maybe Rush Limbaugh was the 20th hijacker, but he was just so strung out on Oxycontin he missed his flight. Rush Limbaugh, I hope the country fails. I hope his kidneys fail. How about that? He needs a little waterboarding. That's what he needs.
You get that little part at the end about the waterboarding. So it's the obvious thing that you would poke fun of. Now, the one thing that that Obama did say over the weekend at this White House Correspondents Association dinner is that nobody in his administration basically was safe from the one-liners, and then so there's a whole bunch of them, Hillary Clinton, Rahm Emanuel, you know, all that sort of stuff. And one of the things, one of the zingers, you heard the one that he said about his wife, he said something interesting, because there's about 2,500 people there. There was politicians, journalists, celebrities, all that kind of stuff, or they're all out there. And anyway, he said, you know, there's constantly this thing about him being the media darling, which is true, and I've read off the statistics before on this show as far as favorable versus negative versus questioning versus blah, 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 whatever, if you go through all the networks and broadcast and print, et cetera, there's no question most of it's favorable, right? And he said this, most of you covered me, all of you voted for me, apologies to the Fox table. I thought that was pretty good. And seeing the Fox people were there, so everybody can take it, and that's that kind of a night that it is. And the who's who as far as the celebrities, pretty thick with a lot of celebs. There's no doubt that he has Hollywood in his back pocket, I would think. You know, when you have Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes and, you know, Robert De Niro and Jennifer Garner and Ben Affleck and all those sort of people, Demi Moore, you know, on down the list, it was pretty thick with pretty well-known people. That makes sense, a Democrat in office, and most of Hollywood leans democratically, and with Obama, there were a lot of people pushing, obviously, on the West Coast for Obama. In fact, with the GOP on the hunt for brand identity, the place where they say they've really lost is in the West, a little bit in the Northeast too, but particularly the highest point would be in the West, not so much in the South, etc. So the GOP trying to find its way back. In fact, I got a copy of Time Magazine, and in Time Magazine, the cover of Time Magazine has an elephant on it and says endangered species, and talks about how the Republicans lost their way and how they can find their way back. And it deals with some of the stuff that we've talked to people about on this show and that we've talked about on this show. Number one, in going to so-called brand, that the identity, the problem is, and we've seen this with the Democratic Party, etc., is this shrinkage, and ultimately what the issues are and the mood of the country. I've said this before, there's no question. If the economy bounces back, then Obama will get massive credit and the popularity stays, and then re-election is easier. If the economy continues to languish, if we're caught in a situation of high unemployment and it doesn't look like any quick turnaround and there's more conversation about the dollar just being worth nothing, basically like confetti, and talking about a global currency and all the other nonsense and stuff that's been thrown out there. Well, if it continues to go down that path, then that's when the Democrats lose a lot of steam. But it's not a surprise, because you have a heavily controlled, of course, you have a Democratic Congress, basically. You have a Democratic president. So it's the same when you saw that with the Republican administration as well. I think it's a question of who emerges. I don't know how I got into this, but typical of as we zig and zag all over, like I just said, it's a question of who the party leaders become. Who are the strong faces of the GOP? And I don't think you can have the same old faces of the GOP. I think you need people to emerge with fresh faces. A lot of people thought Bobby Jindal, the governor of Louisiana, the governor of Louisiana, was going to be that guy. But ultimately, he kind of blew it in that response to the State of the Union. Can he bounce back from that? Absolutely. Does he have the capacity to unite people? I think so. And he's a little bit more. He's conservative, but he's a little bit more on that center to right edge. So he's somebody who I think stays at the forefront, and we'll see if some of the younger people bring up the rear with the GOP. So politics as usual, but this time it was more about the one-liners and moving forward after the White House correspondence dinner. He even said something about the first 100 days and what was going to happen in the next 100 days and that sort of stuff. Now, speaking of the White House is forecasting, and this is kind of a bummer for all those people that I mentioned earlier who are looking for work and they're either overqualified or too many people, five times the amount that normally would apply for a job, have applied for a job, and they're looking for a job. They've been without work for 9 months, 10 months, a year. I know somebody that's been looking for work for 3 months. I know somebody that's been looking for work for almost a year. And it's not for lack of trying or not for having the resume, let me tell you. But President Obama's chief economics forecaster, they just did a big, huge blow-up piece in the New York Times on this, said that the country probably is not going to see any positive employment growth until 2010, even if the economy picks up. Even if it picks up, you're probably not going to see it until the fourth quarter of the year. Well, we're already into May. That kind of makes sense. And we know that Bernanke, the Federal Reserve Chairman, was saying the same thing when he was on the Hill, too, that unemployment probably, she's the chairwoman of the White House Council of Economic Advisors is saying, listen, the number that we see is probably going to go higher. The unemployment rate, which is at almost 9%, could go to 9.5%. 9.5%. Wow. That's incredible when you think of unemployment in the past and trying to reverse rising unemployment numbers. Man, what ultimately do you do to reverse this? The unemployment rate, which counts people, by the way, who are working part-time because their hours have been cut, and those who have given up looking for jobs, is incredible, the level that we're at, 8.9%. You know, that's the highest level in a quarter of a century. My goodness. Hey, I'm going to let you hear a clip of a hot band out of Seattle. A friend of mine manages. It's called Shoddy, never released before. And also, we're going to talk about, finally, the Star Trek numbers. How do they do? Hang with us here on America Tonight.
As the economy continues to plummet, many of us will have to make difficult choices and cut back on our expenses. One thing we cannot afford to cut back on, though, is our health. If you suffer from chronic illness, stress, weak immune health, or just feel tired, you need to visit Shentrition.com. Shentrition is an innovative supplement that stimulates the healing power of the body. Shentrition is made up of two parts. The first part is superfoods, alkalizing greens, and hemp protein. The second half contains a powerful herbal formula to heal and detoxify the body. The philosophy at Shentrition is to feed the body what it needs and heal the body with food in one product. Shentrition is all natural, wheat-free, dairy-free, and 100% vegetarian. Discover the ancient secrets to healing, wellness, and longevity at Shentrition.com. That's Shentrition. Shentrition.com or call 1-866-497-7436. That's 1-866-497-7436 today.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
I was drinking more than I should, and I knew it. I just made excuses and wrote it off as stress from work or problems at home. I thought I was functional. But then I realized that just being functional wasn't any kind of life at all. That's when I heard about a free CD from the National Institute for Alcohol Recovery. Turns out it's different from anything else out there, including 12-step or hypnosis. It's based on the latest research, and it really turned things around for me.
This free alcohol recovery CD tells you about everything you need to succeed in the privacy of your own home. We guarantee it. We are so sure of your success with our alcohol recovery program that if you can find a better home recovery program anywhere, we'll pay for it. So you have absolutely nothing to lose. For a free CD, call 1-800-309-0958. That's 1-800-309-0958. 1-800-309-0958.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIA silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. 888-213-4338 and help us win this battle.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-N-O-T-A-X. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Shoddy, they're a 5-piece rock and pop band from Seattle, a band that's really close to breaking it, really, really close, and they just recorded this at Jupiter Studios in Seattle with a really well-known engineer slash record exec, that kind of thing, and it just is now released. I think this may even be the first airplay. Song is called Inside Out. How about that? Great group of kids, boy. I hope they do break it. You know, you see those movies. Over the weekend, I watched a silly movie called Rocker with that guy from The Office. But, you know, the movie, you know, there's been so many movies about the whole rock thing. Tons of movies have been done about that. There was the one that was done by Cameron Crowe. Oh, I can't think of the name of it now. Almost Famous. And that is pretty indicative of things that happen. Or there's another movie I saw. It was kind of one of those indie movies about a band that had the right stuff but didn't make it. And any more, the music business is, man, just crazy to try to break through in the music business anymore. It's about MySpace and Facebook and word of mouth. And I know a lot of musicians that are doing pretty well just selling their own stuff because it's pretty tough through the record companies. What a rat race that business is. Hey, over the weekend, in an equally tough business, new movie came out called Star Trek. Can you guess what that was about? But, of course, it's one of the prequel things. In other words, going back to the very beginning. You got to love that. I liked it in Star Wars just because it was interesting to me to see the backstory. And I don't know a lot about Star Trek other than what I've seen on the big screen and a few of the episodes here and there. But I like the movies, definitely. And this movie, I think, must be holding its own because at the box office, now to produce this movie, it cost them $140 million. $140 million. They think ultimately they can break at least $200 million. The interesting thing is over the weekend, you know, Matt Johnson and I were talking about what we thought ultimately would do. I said $75 million. It's done $76.5 million. And if you total Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and ultimately, too, internationally, over $35 million if you throw that into the pot. So this is just opening week. They, for sure, the studios will recoup that $140. I guess it's just a question of how far over the $140 mark that it goes. And, Matt, you know, we were talking about that last week. It, apparently a really, really decent movie.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I didn't get the chance to see it like I thought I would, but I'm going to check it out probably this week, maybe next week. And I think our bet, if we throw in the international numbers, then this guy was right.
If you don't throw in the international numbers, it was really closer to me.
Well, I know, but we're looking for the overall total package here.
Sure, exactly. So do you want me to throw the white flag and say, okay, I'm going to agree that if we include the international numbers. See, we weren't specific. I think you and I would do well in the government because there's something to dance around here.
Well,
I have my spin on it. You have your spin on it. It's perfect.
Show me the money!
You're just hoping that somebody in those plush studios at the mansion, of course, in Minneapolis, where our shows emanate from, that somebody can find their way there to deliver the food.
Right. Exactly. The large frosty and the spicy
frosty
chicken sandwich. I need that.
Aren't you having the grilled sandwiches? Don't they make grilled sandwiches at Wendy's now?
I'm sure they do, but it's nothing like the spicy chicken.
All right, spicy chicken.
And then the large frosty to wash it down.
Just because I'm so nice. When I come to Minneapolis, for certain, we will have that delivered to you.
Excellent. I will expect it. Did you want to hear a little bit from Star Trek?
Let's hear a little bit of Star Trek to get people buzzed about it if they missed it over the weekend.
We received a distress call. I've been waiting for this day my whole life. This day of reckoning.
We've got no captain and no first officer to replace him.
Yeah, we do.
All right, so when they said, yeah, we do, that's when it's the start of James Kirk and, of course, Spock. And the two guys that play the young version of Bill Shatner and Leonard Nimoy, I think, really hit it on the head. Because they did a little parody over the weekend, not parody, they did a little appearance on Saturday Night Live, and these two guys, I think, nailed it. They look enough like them, and they're unknown, that I think they're going to make a couple of these. What do you think, Matt? You think they'll make a couple of these Star Trek deals?
Of course they will. With making over $100 million internationally, worldwide, the first weekend, all the studio execs are probably rolling out Star Trek 2, Next Generation, whatever the title will be.
Yeah, they love it. It's like John Favreau, you listen to him because he's the guy behind, you know, he's the guy who had to put it all together, direct it. Remember the Iron Man, the first one?
Right.
Well, now they're making the part two, or it's actually in the process. It might almost be made, I don't know, because I think the release is soon. Not soon, like around the corner. But he talked about the pressure. Once you hit and you're in the huge numbers, I mean, you're the guy, and now they're going to give you those big budgets. You can go to the studios, and they'll approve the big budgets, but you got to come back with a really good sequel, and I think sequels are tough. This is a prequel, which is still, it's like a sequel in a different way. It's in front of it. That's why I call it a prequel. But I think it's tough, too. You have to have a decent script, and you have to have, in these kind of movies, these big-budget movies, the special effects are key, but they can't be too cheesy. It's got to fit into to what the story is. And in both cases, it sounds like it has. If you saw Star Trek the movie and you want to give us a cheap review, please call us, 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791.
The sequel is never as good as the first movie, though.
No, I don't think so either. You know, it's like the it's like Star Wars. Are the other Star Wars, and there's some good ones, but are they as good as the first time you saw the first Star Wars flick? I'm going to say no. It's just not, I mean, it's just the whole
Empire Strikes Back was good, though.
I think so, too. But I still think the first was the best. I mean, here, another great example, a lot of people, you know, I'm into the mafia genre thing. I don't know if it's because I'm from Jersey, Philly, whatever. But the Godfather, Godfather 1 and 2, you know, the Godfather, Godfather 2, and Godfather 3, even 3 a lot of people trashed. And I liked all of it because I liked that kind of film. But the first one, hands down, was the best one, absolutely. No question it was the best
Sophia
one.
Sofia Coppola ruined the third one.
Yeah, boy, the third one. There's some cheesy things in that third one. The opera deal and how she died at the end and and it, you know what, there was so much time in between, there was so much build up for it. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with the movie Wall Street, because the first one in the 80s was so good with Charlie Sheen. You might have even been talking to me about that, but Michael Douglas, of course, will be back as Gordon Gekko. But how's the sequel going to be, because you've had so many years in between? I don't know. Sometimes there's a thing about you wait too long to make. It's like Indiana Jones. The last Indiana Jones that was made, I didn't like it. It was okay. There were some good moments in it. Of course, I went to see it, but nothing like the first or second Indiana Jones. Nothing like it. And maybe too much time passed. I don't know. I mean, can you go back and revisit? Can you do that? Is there a line where you can't, where the characters are just too so much older than the last time you remember them, and you've lost all this time in between? I think if you're going to do a sequel, it's better to do it closer to the timeline, not to wait too long. To get it while it's hot, while it was still in someone's memory, don't wait too many years. And I think in the case of Indiana Jones, of course it did okay at the box office, but I think there was too much time in between. So I don't think they're going to wait on the Star Trek thing. I'm sure they have the guys that played the lead signed up, and I'm sure they're going to do another one, and they won't wait 4 years for the next one to come out. There's some exceptions to it. And the exceptions, I think, the one exception is the 007, the Bond movies. And that's because they're not really sequels. It's the continuation of Bond stories, but they're all different. And, of course, we've had different Bonds. And I don't think, like the last two Bonds that I saw with the new one, with the new Bond, I think with Daniel Craig is good. And they're separate. They're not sequels so much. Now, this one kind of carried over a little bit some of the storyline from the first one Daniel Craig was in. But for the most part, that's not really how they connect. There is sort of a separation deal, and I think that makes probably a huge difference. Hey, coming up, we're going to tell you about another beauty pageant contestant who is in trouble with the law. In fact, she's beyond in trouble. She's actually been sentenced. And would you believe she's from Jersey? We got that next here on America Tonight.
Do you have more than $15,000 in credit card debt? Before you spend another dollar on minimum payments, call American Debt Specialists right now and find out how much of your debt can be eliminated. That's right, eliminated. Call 800-237-7042. While the government is bailing out the credit card companies, we're here to make sure you get help too. Just one call could reduce your credit card debt by as much as 60%. 60%! We'll bring you peace of mind with reduced debt and just one low monthly payment that fits your budget. It's simple, legal, and we'll get the job done for you fast.
It was amazing. They helped me consolidate all my credit card debt into one low monthly payment.
Now, we don't have to file for bankruptcy.
Managing one payment is giving me my life back.
For a free debt evaluation and to learn how you can save thousands right now, call 800-237-7660. That's 1-800-237-7660. 800-237-7660.
Companies continue to lay off thousands of people. Unemployment is the highest it's been in over 30 years. Statistics prove that in a recession, crime rates go up. Everyone needs something for that extra edge to prevent becoming a victim in these difficult and trying times. You need to prepare yourself with DPS Pepper Spray, available at MrDefense.com. DPS is the strongest pepper spray in the market and is the same spray used by hundreds of law enforcement agencies from around the world. Need something more? The Scorpion Stun Gun is a great way to take down a potential attacker. Mr. Defense also carries the largest selection of air tasers, knives, self-defense keychains, swords, batons, survival, spy, and tactical gear. Mention this ad and receive 10% off of your order and a free self-defense keychain. Visit MrDefense.com. That's MrDefense.com or call 1-800-313-6400. That's 1-800-313-6400 for all of your self-defense needs today.
Hi, this is Peter Kronschnabel with Midas Resources. As you know, government spending is at an all-time high and inflation is on the rise. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? As the economy continues to deteriorate due to corporate greed and government intervention, more people will lose their jobs and worse, their life savings. Having your hard-earned money in banks, the stock market, or any other paper asset is a lose-lose deal. You'll lose on your capital investment and you'll lose purchasing power as the dollar continues to devalue. One thing is certain, having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens, your investment will never be worthless. If you've been thinking about investing in the physical possession of precious metals, I can help. Call me today, Peter Kronschnabel at 800-686-2237, extension 108, and I will take the time personally to put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call Peter, 800-686-2237, extension 108. You've worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call 800-686-2237, extension 108.
Woke up this morning, got yourself. Your mama always said you'd be the chosen one. She said, one in a million, you got to learn to shine. You're born under a bad sign.
Saying it isn't so, Mrs. New Jersey, Heather DiCarlo, has spent a year in jail. Do you believe it? Yep, it's true. Sentenced to 1 year for passing bad checks. The beauty queen spiraling out of control. She passed bad checks for about $70,000. It happened over a two-month period. She got to check this out, too. What does a girl from Jersey want with $70,000? What does she have to desperately get? Well, for 2 months, this is what she was buying up. Tables, chairs, couches from a furniture dealer. And then she bounced a bunch of checks, too. So detectives eventually raided the house, the rented house that she shared with her husband and two sons. That's nice. They recovered the furniture. They shipped it back to the store. She was released on bond. And then she was sentenced just the other day to a year in jail. She pled guilty to four counts of theft by deception and writing bad checks. You know, it was so weird, too. I happened to see this. It was on the tube, and she's in the court. She's got white pants on, white pantsuit and stiletto heels, long, dark hair, pulled back in a ponytail. standing there, and the Superior Court judge just wagging the finger at her in Essex County, called her a master of deception and merely a thief. She started to weep, and then she was sentenced to that year in jail and 5 years probation. So 36 years old, got a couple of sons, and she's going to be in the slammer. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's the mugshot. Not a good-looking beauty queen in the mugshot, but she looked good in court. She looked like she could be a beauty pageant winner, contestant, or, you know, whatever. And in the meantime, this goes, of course, on the heels, without saying, of the Miss California hubbub over whether or not she's going to lose her crown, because now the king of all everything, publicity, casinos, buildings, entrepreneur, you know, that would be Donald Trump. King Trump gets to decide what happens, the fate of the beauty queen, ultimately. He was going to do it in the beginning of the week, and he still is. He's going to do it on Tuesday. There'll be a big presser. In other words, microphones, cameras, everything to decide what's going to happen to Miss California. I have a feeling that he is going to keep her as Miss California. I'd be stunned if Trump got up there and decided to pull her out. Because here's the deal. He owns this beauty pageant. It's his gig. It's his deal. So there's lots of publicity about this, and a lot of it is negative, and then there's people sticking up for Miss California, Carrie Prejean. But the bottom line is, he owns this. It's a business. Trump loves controversy, right? I mean, think of The Apprentice, and think of the various things that have happened in his businesses, and think of the back and forth with Rosie O'Donnell. Think of the times his little feuds with people and whatnot have been highlighted. They've only helped him. He's definitely about publicity. I think that this being dragged out for almost a month now is not bad for the little pageant that people might not have been paying attention to, the Miss USA pageant. I don't know how many people are into the pageant thing anymore and what the ratings are, but I can tell you the aftermath has been huge because people were either, and there was really no middle ground in this. You were one way or the other. You either thought that she was getting the shaft and it wasn't fair because it's about free speech. So, hey, she didn't answer the question the way you thought she should have answered it. So what? Leave her alone. Or other people thought she's outrageous. She's ridiculous. She's everything that's wrong with this country. I mean, look where we're going with gay marriage. States jumping on the bandwagon. And how dare she do that? And this is California. And see, it's like I said before, you want to talk about a state that's really the GOP almost non-existent. Talk about extinct. It would be California. Now, you have a Republican governor in Orange County. There's certainly some Republicans. It's not that there's no registered Republicans. But there's no question, you want to talk about a left-leaning state, it would be California. And yes, there are pockets of conservatives, and yes, there are certainly Republicans, but you're a dying breed in Cali. So her comments went down like bricks being thrown out of a 10-story window, crashing one after another. And then the fight back, the clawback on that was pretty bad, too, because ultimately she decided to endorse this marriage thing, this group that promotes marriage, which was another lick against her, and more people were stepping forward to say things. And then the pictures come out. Of course, there's always pictures somewhere. And they were pictures that were taken as a teenager. You could tell they were modeling shots. And they weren't raunchy, lewd, or any of that kind of stuff. But she was topless. I mean, she was covering her top, but she was in underwear, and she was topless. So that's one of the things that they put in their contracts about nudity or partial nudity or whatever. Ultimately, though, the bottom line is Trump is the decider. And I think the idea of holding the press conference, people will cover it, it will get attention, it gets attention for the pageant, for whatever, and I think he'll stick with her. I'd be really surprised if he decided she wasn't a good representative of California. Of course, there'll be pressure from Trump. There'll be pressure to Trump from the people in California in charge of the pageant and the emails and the things that have happened as a result for him to make a different decision, but I don't think he will. What could be interesting, and I could see the scenario playing out, maybe what happens is they bring, I don't know if he would do this, though. Would you really bring Perez Hilton into the middle of this? Bring him to the press conference, trot him out. She says she's sorry if she offended somebody or whatever, and I don't think she will, but maybe there's a way they manipulate that, and then that becomes even bigger. What do you think, Matt, the odds are of trotting out Perez Hilton at this press conference, or he may just be there?
I doubt that Trump would bring him with it, too. If he's going to support her, I don't think he'd bring Perez to the press conference.
I'm saying I think he's there some way or another.
Well, he might try to ambush it or something, I guess. But I don't think Trump would have him there because Perez is not the type of person who just goes along with things.
No, he's not the type that goes along with things, but it could be, you know how Trump is, he absolutely knows how to spin things. So he could have brought him up, he could bring him up and say, hey, this was a pageant, you know, question, and she answered the question, and ultimately, you know, our judges are allowed to ask their questions, da, 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 da. He could do it sort of like that, and maybe he won't, but I'll be curious to see. It's going to be a little bit of a show. It's not just going to be, I doubt it, it's not going to be Trump and just Miss California. I think there's going to be some other surprise. He likes that jack-in-the-box theory where you wind it up and pop, the lid comes flying off. I think something else will happen there. What? I'm not sure. But something else will come, I believe, from that. Something else will come out of that press conference or come from that press conference, etc. Hey, we didn't touch on this too much, but I'm going to touch on this briefly next hour. Hopefully you'll be along for the ride with us on that one. And this is the fact that while we're talking about Pakistan and Afghanistan and ultimately what happens next for the U.S., what happens with Iran and in general in the Middle East, Defense Secretary Robert Gates, who was in Afghanistan late last week and said we weren't putting boots on the ground in Pakistan, but of course increasing big time in Afghanistan by the fall, is going to have to ask for a bunch of money. And the problem is he goes back to Washington. He's going to have a lot of hostile, I think, congressional budget hearings that he's going to have to be a part of because, you know, with the way we are in America where we're at, just bleeding money, and the fact that this isn't a traditional war, if you think about it, you've got surveillance drones and those medical evacuation helicopters that are huge, the tanks, the bombers, the aircraft, all that kind of stuff, and the kind of money that you have to spend on that. I'm thinking he's going to have a big, big fight on his hands. All right, time for some more levity with these clever knock-knock jokes. We've got another one for you. Ready, Matt? Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Iona.
Iona who?
I own a new car.